Pshus, Raman Rabban Rabbeisai, Paisin Bichvait Achsanya. Achsanya tonight is Yeshivas Terev Adas. When I was a young boy growing up in Seattle, Washington, more than 50 years ago, I was both geographically and conceptually removed from the Olam HaYeshivas. It's not like it is today that every little kid knows about yeshivas and gedolim. It was a different era. There were very few yeshivas that I even heard of as a little boy. One notable exception was Yeshivas Terev Adas. Because there were boys that were older than I was, and they had left Seattle, and they had come to this yeshiva. So as a little boy of 8 or 10 years old, Yeshivas Terev Adas conjured up in my mind a place of mythical proportions. The legend of Terev Adas only grew when in 1959 Rabbi Shalom Rifkin, Zohar Haben HaRafua Shlema, became the Rav in Seattle, Washington, and in effect became my Shtot Rav. Rabbi Rifkin was not only a Talmud of this yeshiva, but his father, Rav Meshe Dayv Ber Rifkin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was one of the Ramim in this yeshiva. And from time to time, the older Rabbi Rifkin, Rav Meshe Dayv Rifkin, would come to Seattle. So my image of what a Rav is and what a Rashiva is were formed by Rabbi Rifkin and his father. But never in my wildest dreams did I ever imagine that one day I would be standing here at this Amid, in this yeshiva, this Halig yeshiva, with its glorious past and its famous Rashi yeshivas, that I would be standing here on any occasion to speak in front of this idol. My indirect yanika in Terev Adas grew when I came to Ner Yisrael in Baltimore, and I was zeichet to learn by my Rebbe, the Rebbe who I consider the person that put me on my feet in learning, Avenkev Meshe Kolevsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Kolevsky was a Talmud of this yeshiva. And Bifrat, he was a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Hyman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and then later was a Talmud of Rav Reuven, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Those were the Rabbeim who created the Slavon Rufak Rav Kolevsky. So in a certain sense, I am an anacle of Terev Adas, because I learned by Rabbeim who learned from Terev Adas. My connections, however, to the Rashiva Rav Yankiv Kamenetsky Zecher Tzadik Livracha, my relation to him is much, much more tenuous. And if indeed some of you are wondering why I am speaking here tonight, I must tell you in all candor that the same thought has crossed my mind many, many a time. I am not a Talmud of Rav Yankiv Kamenetsky, and I am embarrassed perhaps to admit that my whole shaychus to him was just a shalom aleichem when from time to time he would come to Baltimore to visit his daughter and his agent and to see his cousin, my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Luderman Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And perhaps there are some of you that are miffed by the whole concept of someone who has not a Talmud of this yeshiva nor a Talmud of his. Why am I speaking at all? Is it appropriate? Is it in fact a chutzpah? But perhaps he hanesenes. And it is in fact perhaps why the mishpacha entrusted me with this covet of saying divrei zikaron on the occasion of the 20th yortzeit of the Rosh Yeshiva. Because by now, the real Talmidim, the people that really knew the Rosh Yeshiva, have all spoken. And you've already heard from them over the years. But now, on the 20th yortzeit, perhaps it is in fact appropriate to hear from someone who is only influenced by the Rosh Yeshiva through his svarim, a Talmid Meirachik, someone that got some hashva from the svarim that he wrote, from the stories that have been said over, and the books and svarim that have been written over the last 20 years. And that is how I decided how to approach this drasha. Since I only knew the Rashiva through his svarim, I decided to take three or four verter, three or four ha'oris from his sefer that I think demonstrate and show an insight into his unique approach to Chumash, but also a unique insight into the unique person that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was. And if there is one word that we use to describe the Rosh Yeshiva, I think the word unique is extremely apt. Because he was an original. He was a very, very different and special kind of person. You see that from his learning. You see that from his hashkafas achayim. He was unique. How many svarim on Chumash do you read that an entire vort can be based on the trot of the pasuk? Where do you see such things? His vast knowledge of Diktuk and Lashon Kodesh and how he uses that to understand Psukim and the Diyukim that he makes and the nuances that he sees are really unique. He once told of a barrel wine that there was a time that people thought that he must be a maskil, because since he was such a medakdek in Lashon Kodesh and in Dikduk, which was the terrain of the maskilim, so perhaps he was a closet maskil. We know that not to be true, but apparently there were those that made rumbles, at least perhaps in Europe. The first year that the Rashiva said in this yeshiva was on the Masechta Bava Basra. And he got up, probably not in this base medrash, but when the yeshiva was still in Williamsburg, he got up and his first shir psicha was in Bava Basra, and he began with the first Mishnah and he said, Hashutofin. Because even though we all know that it's Hashutfin, but al pidiktuk and grammatically correct, it is Hashutofin. At which point, the entire Olam started laughing. Rabbi Yanke decided at that point that he would say hashutfim, and he would not be grammatically correct anymore. And as he told Rabbi Wein, Sitmir Veikatan, it bothered him because he was a medaktik. But what could he do? The Olam wasn't sophisticated enough to appreciate where he was coming from. So let me say over four ha'aras on Chumash, which, as I said, I think provide an insight into his approach to Chumash, but more profoundly, his approach to life. Rabbi Yankiv writes in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Emes Liakov, on the pasuk by Yishma Avraham ki nishba achiv by Yarek es chanichav. Zot the sefer. Hine ilu hoya Avraham shoyo she'ila ichai leilich lahatil this light. If Avraham Avinu would have asked the shayla, is he mechuyiv al pidin to save Lot? Bavarai hoya nenesh hu potter. Avada the psak halacha would be that he's potter. The ha'ein odom mechuyiv lahatnis es atmei besofik sakona b'chei lahatil as chaveira. Because you're not mechuyiv to put yourself in a sakona to save someone else, especially if the person put himself in that matzav. So then why did Avraham Avinu do it? Elo masha osa kein Avraham hu mishum shehaavais nibu yisharim. So the Emes Liakov that he did this because the avais were yisharim. This is in fact a shtickle that the Netziv says in his Hakdamah to Sefer Bereishis. Aleihu k'suvim al Sefer Hayashar. Zok Hazal Sefer Hayashar is Sefer Bereishis. Why Sefer HaBereishis is called Sefer Hayashar? Because it is the Sefer of the Avay Shenikru Yisharim. V'haynu shekol hanhagosam hoyso loy al pi dini hatera ela al pi seichel Hayashar. Because that which the Ovis did, and that's how the Ovis lived, and that which the Ovis practiced, wasn't Alpi Shulchanor strictly. But it was Alpi, what is the Yashrus? What's Yashur? What's the right thing to do? And even though Shuras Adin doesn't necessarily necessitate this Hanhoda, but Tairas Ayashrus does. Und sagt der Emes Liakoi, v'haynu, ki Avraham hirgish es atzmei ka'achroi v'shloime sholoit. Avraham felt personally responsible for the welfare of Lot. V'kevin shachar haron aviv, meis b'kivshan aviv. Mishum sh'omar shu maimin b'elokei Avraham. He felt a responsibility. His Lot's father was killed because he cast his lot with Avraham. Zoch the Heiliger Rashiva. V'lochein al pi ha-yayisher v'ha-menschlichkeit. Huchrach Avraham l'horikis chanicho. V'lirdei v'acharei ha-melochim. Al pi ha-menschlichkeit. That's why Avraham Avinu went to rescue Lot. Also, gefrekt Ashayla, the din would be no. Avraham Pi Hayosher v'Amenshlichkeit. This was not merely a vort by the Rashiva. He was indeed a true Noah Dairesh. The Noah Mekayim. He lived by the words of the Ramban. And the Ramban says in Sefer Dvorim, on the Pasuk Vosisa Hayosher Vahatai Be'ene Hashem, Zok the Ramban, Yisayi Sticker Ramban, Vata Yomar Kigam Basher Le Tzivcha Tein Dach Cholatais Hayosher V'Hatoy Ve'Enov. Zot the Ramban, the Torah cannot enumerate every single scenario that will come up in life. The Torah can't tell you all the laws of Shechem. The Torah can't tell you about double parking. The Torah can't tell you about the myriad cases that can come up in life. Is it true? Is it mutter? Is it osur? Zot the Ramban, zot the Torah, klali sikha mitzvah called vasisa hayosher v'hatay, an umbrella mitzvah that kolel everything. Zot the Ramban, tein daicho lachis hatoy v'hayosher v'enov. Figure it out. Extrapolate from that which I told you. I've given you an entire Torah. And now, tein daicho. Figure out. Lachis hatoy v'hayosher v'enov. Ki hu oyhev hatoy v'hayosher. Because the Rebbeinu Shlom likes, loves Hatayv Hayosher. And that he was indeed a Noah Dairesh, a Noah Mekayim. Many of you perhaps have heard the story of the black lady who was a receptionist at the hotel in Miami Beach, where the Rashiva used to spend, in his latter years, he used to spend the winters. And she once mentioned to somebody that Rabbi Kamenetsky is my friend. Why in her mind was Rabbi Yankiv her friend? Because every single morning when he would come down to give the Daf Yomi, he would always make a point of saying good morning to the black receptionist. So in her eyes, he was her friend. That's Asisa Hayosher V'Hatayv. That's a Kol HaNagasam V'Yavi Hayashvus. Rav Nosson Sherman. Nathan Sherman told me that when he was learning in Torah V'Das, and he was in the 12th grade, apparently they used to have Mishmor on Thursday nights, not in the main Beis Medrash, but in a classroom. So he and his classmates were learning in the yeshiva, in the classroom, and the Rashiva Rabbi Yankiv came into the room and asked if he could daven Ma'ariv because he had Yortzeit. So, of course, they agreed. So Rabbi Yankiv davened Ma'ariv for the Omid, and the Bokrim, the 12th graders, were apparently used to be hanhoge that Rabbi Yankiv was Ma'ariv in his Shemoneh Esrei. So 12th graders being 12th graders, when they finished their Shemoneh Esrei, they went out into the hall so they could schmooze while they had to wait for the Rashiva to finish his Shemoneh Esrei. And lo and behold, before they knew it, Rabbi Yankiv was Makatzer, and he was ready to start Sey Kaddish. And he, in fact, finished Shemoneh Esrei much earlier than he normally did. But Nathan Sherman said what he thinks is pshat in the Maisa. And that is that when the Rashiva was Alt Rosh Hashiva and he was davening in the Beis Medrash, then the protocol called for the fact that he waited for the Rashiva. And it is to be expected that a Rashiva davens a long Shemoneh Esrei. But if I'm coming into your classroom And I'm asking you to do me a favor and to make a minyan for me, then I can't prava rashiva and make you wait for my longish menesre. Because it's only menshlach. It's only menshlach that when you ask someone to do you a favor, you don't impose on him. Shekol ha-hagosai hoya al-pi ha-yashvus ba-ha-sechal ha-yosha. Ha-ora 2. The Rashiva has a long arichus in Parshas Vayishlach to try to explain the story of Shimon and Levi and their attack on the city of Shechem. And the Rashiva points out that it isn't apparent that Yaakov Avinu was aware of what Shimon and Levi were planning to do. If so, then why was Yaakov Avinu so upset with them? Why did he in fact give them a klola? He was privy to their plans. He was aware of their plans. So the Rashiva says that there are two hanhagas that a person can use in life. One is the hanhaga of to be glatt and to be straight and to be above board and to be poshet and glatt. But there are situations where, because of the people with whom you are dealing, you can't act like that. Loikach menahali masa umatan im anoshim misudon shal shem v'chamor. You can't act glatt and straight when you're dealing with crooks and charlatans and reistzchim like Shechem and his son. Tam loy haisa ha'a sharut ela linhai nitam b'mirma. It was only shaykh over here. You have to go with deceit. You have to go not glatt. Avo Yaakov, over Yaakov Avinu, b'tor hanatzig hanaleh shal tayrach ha'emes ba'olam. But Yaakov Avinu, as the representative of Tayrach ha'emes in the world, the personification of emes, Pitein emes liyakai loy hoya yocho laharshais atzmai lacharoig minego lisnaig im shchem v'chamor b'orma. Yaakov Avinu could not indulge in that, because as the personification and the representative of emes and yashrus, he could not act in such a fashion. V'lochein choshat Yaakov l'manchil Hashem v'lohoyo shumbrei re'el l'hacharish. Ava, Oma, l'bonov hoyo Yaakov yocho limtzer hanhoga me'ein zu. But his sons could have and should have acted like this, because that's the only way to deal with the Shechem and the Chamor. Ki lifomim be'emes tzorech ha'odom lishnahik ba'ifen, which Rav Yankev refers to as machshav ha'shniya. And therefore, he goes on to explain that he did not anticipate that they would wipe out the whole city. But the whole mirma, the whole plan of having them mal, he was aware of that, Yaakov Avinu. He merely thought that when they were in a state of weakened defenses, so they would come in, they would take back their sister, their daughter, his daughter, but he didn't wipe them out. But Yaakov couldn't do this himself, because he was the Netziko Emes. And I think that with those words, Al-Atzmai Nibah, he was being misnabe about himself. Aval Yaakov b'teiras hanetzig shel teiras ha'emes ba'olam. Yaakov as the representative of the teiras ha'emes ba'olam. Al atzmai hu darash. He was indeed the personification of the teiras ha'emes. Some of you have perhaps heard the story. I am told that Rabbi Yankiv did not eat gebrots on Pesach. Rabbi Yankiv, among his other qualities, he was a Litvak. And what's a Litvish rov, not eating gebrots? Where does that come from? And the answer is, because apparently as a bocher in Slabodka, where he had to find a place to eat for Pesach, and he was assigned a certain family, but he was somewhat leery about their dikduk and kashrus. So he wanted to get out in a diplomatic way of having to not to go there for Pesach. So he went, he said, I can't come for Pesach, I want to come, I'd like to come, but Yerestach Gebrots. You eat Gebrots, and I don't eat Gebrots. Which wasn't true, but this was a classic case of Mishanin Ibnei HaShalom. But he uttered those words, I don't eat Gebrots. And once those words came out of his mouth, he felt duty-bound to keep that for the rest of his life. And that's because, as he told other people, that b'yayim sha'amar al-daydai, he never said a dvar sheker in his life. So if he made the statement, I don't eat gebrots, then so be it. Rabbi Moshe Jacobs, in his Sefer B'mechitzas Rabbeinu, writes that someone had to have once a very expensive medical procedure. And the person couldn't afford it. I don't know whether he had insurance or not, but the only eitzah that he had was to qualify for government medical assistance. But the problem was he had a house, and therefore he had too many assets to qualify for government assistance. So he came to Rabbi Yankiv with a plan, and that is that he would write up a shtar, a document, a contract, that he owed Rabbi Yankiv money, and as a result of that, he mortgaged his house to Rabbi Yankiv, and this way he would divest himself of his assets. And after he would qualify for the government assistance, because he had no assets and he would have the procedure, then he would go and he would rip up the document and everything would be fine and dandy. Rabbi Yankiv rejected this out of hand. And he said, I never spoke a Dvar Sheker in my life, and I am certainly not going to write a Dvar Sheker. Because, as we mentioned, he was the Netzig Shal Teiras HaEmes Ba'olam. You know, I like to tell my children, at least when they were younger, that Rabbi Yankiv and I have something in common. And this is perhaps the only thing that we have in common. And that is that we both served as interim rabbis Congregation Bikur Cholim in Seattle, Washington. This was several years ago when Bikur Cholim was between Rabbanim and they needed someone for Pesach, and I was the Pesach Rav for two consecutive Pesachs. Rabbi Yankiv was the interim Rav in Bikur Cholim when Rabbi Solomon P. Lovelander was asked to do Hatzalah work to rescue Yidden in Europe, and as a result of that, he had to give up the Rabbonis for a period of time. Reb Yanky Kamenetsky became the interim Rav. You don't give over your Rabbonis to somebody else unless you're quite sure that when you come back, your Rabbonis is still going to be available. And therefore, it's a rare person with whom you can entrust your job to. Aber Wolgewanter felt confident, and his confidence was not unfounded when he entrusted the Reshiva to be the interim Rav, and indeed, when his mission was finished, he got his job back without any hesitation whatsoever. Ha'ara number three. The Reshiva has an Arichas in Parshas Yisrael as to why Yisrael was Zeicha to have a son-in-law like Moshe Rabbeinu. Arguably, Yisrael had the best Edom in the history of the world. How was he Zeicha to that? He was Zeicha to that, Rashiv explains, because of his Midah HaKoras HaTayv. Because of Yisrael's Midah HaKoras HaTayv. Because Chazal tell us, Amar B'chi, Amar B'simen, Gimel Hayu Ba'isa Eitza, Bilam V'iyai V'Yisrael. When Paro came up, wanted the plan of what to do with the Jews, so he consulted three people, Bilam, Iyav, and Yisrael. Bilam Shiyat Nerag, Iyav Shishasak Nidan B'Yisurim. Yisrael Shibarach Zachu Bonov V'Yashu B'Lishchas Agdozis. Why was Yisrael Barach? Why did Yisrael resign? Because Yisrael felt that Mitzrayim owed a debt of HaKaras HaTayim to Yidin. If it wouldn't have been for Yosef, they would have all have died in the Ra'av. So here is a people who saved us, and that we should turn around now and turn on these people after what they did for us. Yisrael wanted no party to that. But in those days, as you realized, you didn't merely tender your resignation and get a gold watch and walk away. That's why Yisrael had to be barach. He had to flee. He didn't resign from being the miyatzim of Paro. So Yisrael literally risks his life because he doesn't want to be a kofi taif. Then some years later, his daughters are accosted by the Be'er, and Moshe Rabbeinu intervenes and he saves them. And they come back and they tell their father what happened today at the Be'er, about how the Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu. Vayaymer al Benoisa Vayoy. Loma ze azapten as a Ish Keren Eloi Vayoych Alechem. So where is he? Keren Eloi Vayoych Alechem. Invite him for supper. But the Reshiva explains that that dialogue was a lot more dramatic than the words merely suggest. He says to his daughters, and he says, what do you mean you let him walk away? Have I not taught you anything in my life not to be a hamakir toiv? I was meiser nefesh to be a makir toiv. I risked my life because of HaKaras HaTayv. And now this man saves you, and you don't have the decency to invite him for supper. And they invite him. And he becomes Yisrael's son-in-law. That's the schar. So the balem is liyachiv for being a makir teva. And that he also personified. I saw this story in several places, and I heard it as well from the Balei Dvarim. But apparently, there was once a bocher here in Torah Vadas that wasn't coming to Minyan. Something that occasionally happens in yeshivas. So try as they might, the dormitory counselors couldn't get this guy to come to Minyan. So they figured that the only etzah is to throw him out of the dorm. But before they did that, they checked with the reshiva, and he was maskim that after repeated hasros, the only etzah would be to send him out of the dormitory. They informed the bacher of such, and then the bacher got word that the reshiva Rav Yankiv wants to see him. At which point, he must have been terribly frightened. Yankiv called him in, and he asked him, "Now that you're out of the dorm, where are you going to sleep?" And the bacher said, "Doesn't know." So Yankiv said, "I want you to sleep in my house." The reshiva just threw him out of the dormitory. So he said, "Yes, you know, you don't belong in the dormitory because you don't come to Minyan. But I owe you a personal debt of Hakaras HaTayv. Because this Bacher's Zayda used to give money to the Kavne Kailo where Rav Yankiv was learning. So since he was the beneficiary of this Bacher's Zayda's generosity, when he himself was learning in the Kailo, therefore he felt a degree of Hakaras HaTayv to show his appreciation. Noa Dairesh, but Noa Mekayim." And finally, one last Ha'ara. Rav Yankiv writes several places in Chumash about the Kayach HaNegiyas and how Negiyas affects all human beings and the effect that it has on them. He in fact says that just like there is a concept in learning called Pardes, meaning that Torah can be understood on several levels. Shas Rem is Drus and Said. So Zeh Sefer Torah Sa'adam, Torah Sa'adam, a person can be understood on several levels. And many times we do things and there's a Pardes to explain our activities. There's the poshet, the pshat of what we're doing it, why we think we're doing it. There's the remez, there's the drush, and there's the sight. Zeh Sefer Toldos Odom. He writes, Avol nirah shekan yardu chazal lo'imek nefesh ha'odom. Haynu sheyeshnon ba'odom ha'koyches ha'kehim. They are what Rabbi Yankiv calls hakeiches hakeim, meaning there are very subtle subconscious forces that motivate people when they do it. Shehem payalim harbi banhogas ha'adam. Vein ha de margishim adayim. This is why, for instance, he explains that when the Pasuk says that the people cried, Zachanu es adog ashenecha b'mitzrayim chinam, es ha-kishui v'esu avatichim, they cried. Sucker behind the Pasuk Hazal tell us they cried al iskei arayos. They cried because arayos become nasa lahem. How do they know that? Rabbi Yankiv explains, because Chazal, oy v'ruach kodshem, either through ruach ha-kodesh, oy mitzad hamada v'haseichel, people don't cry about cucumbers. People don't cry over garlic. So whether they were consciously aware of it or it was subconscious, but there were things going on. There was the kayach ha-negius. That we're all so negea that we do things and we think we're doing it because of A, but really we're doing it for other reasons. That it is the avodas ha'adam to try to overcome these negias. He says this several places in Chumash. He explains, for instance, why the nesiim are faulted for saying, raise whatever you raise and we'll supply the deficit. But that was not a generous offer. But it was because their atzlus or some other thing. That's a shtickel Torah in several places throughout Chumash about the kayach ha-negius. But let me add something that he doesn't say. And that is that, in my opinion, the thing that separates the rest of us from Gedolim is the ability to overcome one's negius. The rest of us, most of us, are so influenced by our own personal negius, whether we're aware or not aware. But the mark of an Adam Gadol is his ability to look at a situation and raise himself above his negias to what the situation demands. That's the difference between regular people and the true Adam Gadol. L'ani astaiti. This is what separated Rabbi Yankiv from so many people. Because of his meshunidike midas ha'emes, his bakashas ha'emes, his introspection in trying to decide what really is happening, he had the ability to overcome any negias and give the etza that was good for the person. Rabbi Yankiv's Edim, and Yisrael Shurin writes in his Akdamah to the Emes L'Yakov, Pam Omar Li Hagayim Rabbi Chil Mordechai Gordon, Rosh Hashiva's Lomshe. Einen Yisroyo Eitzeis V'chavis Da'as Mishum Ish. I don't ask Eitzes from any person. The Kan Nokav B'Shem Shal Adire HaTera V'Yira. Becher ani lishmaya es chavas daipa yishol Rabbi Yankiv. When I have a shaila, I don't ask anybody else. The only person that I ask is Rabbi Yankiv. V'im tishaleni lama, and if you ask me why, Agi Blacha Gilisi Serbiake Hu Ayichidi Lalaikal Pniais Venigiais Lohain Atsase Amuna. And that he was a Godos of Bigadil. Most of us sitting in this room tonight can never aspire to his godless and learning, to his brave kind of learning, to his yiddias in so many mitzvahs, the esoterica that was so open to him, his hasmada, his ge'oinis. Most of us will never, ever, ever be in that silk. But if we can walk away from here tonight and try to improve in those midas taivis and anhavis taivis that were his hallmark, his emes, the erlichkeit, menschlichkeit, the Yashvas, the Hakaras HaTayv, then indeed this 20th Yahrzeit of this Heilige Heilige Mensch will indeed be a schus for his Heilige Neshama, and we should have an Aliyah on this occasion of his Yahrzeit.